Hope you've had a great afternoon. Very grateful to you for singing with me, for praising God, for seeking God's blessings, for honoring in several verses of these songs God as our Father. I've enjoyed today. I've enjoyed thinking about Dad, enjoyed thinking about your dad, enjoyed thinking about our Heavenly Father. I mentioned at the nursing home this afternoon that I did not get to know my dad, and yet he left me the greatest blessing that I could possibly have ever had. And that was a loving Christian mother who shared life with me in such a tremendous way. It was as though my dad were teaching me. He taught her, she taught me. And I'm so thankful for that, and in that way had a tremendous influence from my dad, though I really can't tell you that I ever knew him. I genuinely appreciate what I got from my dad. As I think about this message, a father for God's son, we don't have a chance to raise our hand and say, listen, God, I'd like to have this man as my father. We are born into this world. We have no choice in that. Our Father is selected for us in a real sense. And God has a hand in selecting our fathers. Don't know why God selects the fathers in the way that He does. Don't know why life works every way the way it does. But I do know this. There's not a life that God doesn't have a hand in and that He serves as our Father. If you go and you read Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and then look at chapter 2, verses 13 through 23, you're going to read the story of the father that God chose to use for His only begotten son. What an honor. What an honor that had to be. But it was not as easy as you and I might think. When I think about the apostles, I think about all the great things that they could do, how easy life must have been for them because they could say to the man at the gate, beautiful, that had been crippled all of his life, take up your bed and walk. And the guy leaps and runs and goes through praising God. And all the people see that. And people follow after Peter and John wanting to hear what they have to say now. What a great blessing it seems like that would have been. Those guys had a hard life. They were challenged day after day. Those guys were thrown in jail. When you read what occurred to those first century people as the book of Hebrews is written and giving us those what we call heroes of faith, how that they were stoned and how that they were nailed to the cross and how that they were sawn in two. And those first century Christians had a hard life. If you take a look at our world, we may be headed for a similar kind of life. But I'm thinking about Joseph tonight for just a few minutes. And his life was not easy. He had a lot of challenges. He had a lot of choices that he had to make. In fact, he had in several ways to make the choice to be the father of God's son. I have looked in many places over the years for qualities and characteristics of family members. I get the blessing of teaching about family so very often, and I am very thankful that there is much study done, good study. There's a group called Family Share that put together a list of things that they saw as good qualities for a father to possess. Now, these are people that are thinking about God. They're thinking about what would a father be like if he were the kind of father that God would want our fathers to be. And they've come up with this list. He's a provider. That is, as they define it, he's a steady provider and works to see that his family has the necessities of life. He is a protector. He does everything in his power to keep the family safe from that which would injure or harm the family. And he is going to do that for their emotional well-being, their physical well-being, and their spiritual well-being. And so he is going to be a protector, but he's also going to be a teacher. He's going to share his knowledge that he gains in life, practical knowledge. Our fathers are able to learn things and teach us things, and it's very important. Those of you that had dads that helped you learn how to build things, that helped you through doing just simple things like being in the scouts and putting together a car that you race in some of the races that the Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts have. When you get to do those kinds of things, your dad might have been an electrician, or your dad might have been a plumber, your dad might have been a carpenter, and he might have been able to teach you all of those things. What an unthinkable blessing it is to have a dad who is a teacher. I was talking to one of our former students yesterday and met his son, and he's from here in Henderson. Hadn't seen him in a while, and we were visiting and laughing and talking, and we had just gotten up and started talking, and we had ignored a young man sitting there by himself behind us while we were laughing and talking. I said, "Do you know this young man?" He said, "This is my son. He is working with me in my law office." I thought, what an outstanding blessing. Here's a dad who's able to help his son through school and then help his son learn the practice of law and work together. So a teacher. But nothing is going to be more significant than the teaching of God's message. Teaching people to love God. Teaching people to obey God and helping them in every way. And then a friend. There's a lot written about whether we need to be parents sometimes or friends. But we're talking about a friendly disposition here. We're not talking about treating a child in the same way that you would treat your friend that is your age and your stage in life that you do things with and that you have done things with for some time. Our children need to be just that. They need to be children. But we need to have a friendly disposition toward our children, showing kindness and compassion and interest in them, interest in what they like and what they want to do. Are parents able to do everything their children want them to do in this way? No. Sometimes we don't know how. Sometimes it's very difficult for us to do that. But we need to have a friendly disposition. And then this group says we need to be an exemplar. That is, we need to show by the way that we live an example of what the family stands for. I have started several lessons from Deuteronomy chapter 6 asking the question, do your children know what is written on the doorposts and on the gates at your house? Do your children know what they can expect from you? What they can expect from your behavior, what they can expect from your direction. Do they know when they get ready to ask you about something, do they already know the answer? Can I go here? Can I be with these people? Can I do this? Our children ought to know exactly where we're going in a general sense. We need to let them know what the family stands for. And we need to exemplify that. If we say that we're Christians, we need to behave like we're Christians. If we want to do things in a good way, if we want our children, to do things in a good way, we need to do things in a good way. And then they say that you need to be a patriarch. When we start thinking about the patriarchs of the Old Testament, it's not really possible for us to fully understand how the Jewish people revered and lifted up those patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We look at our fathers and our grandfathers sometimes like they are over the hill, like they don't know which end is up. And reality is that's the truth sometimes, isn't it, granddads and dads? We don't know which end is up. But it's not about us. My daughter was granddaughter was talking to me today about a person really close to her, and she had sent this person a note that was kind and generous and thoughtful. And she said, "I just don't know if that person deserves that or not." I said, "Yes, he does. He deserves that." I said, "Really, when you compliment people, when you help people by honoring them, it says a lot more about you than it does about them. When the Bible says honor father and mother, are all fathers and mothers honorable in the way they behave? No, they're not. But they have a position worthy of honor. God says honor father and mother. But those of us that are parents, we need to be patriarchs in the sense of being honored because of our moral character and the actions that we undertake. And then we need to be disciplinarians. That is, we need to help children learn proper boundaries. One of the banes of our world is we do not know where boundaries are in this world. And you see, that's a part of knowing what is written on the doorposts and on the gates. Just how far can I go? Just how far do I let my children go in terms of my control with them? It's a very difficult aspect of life, but it's a very significant aspect of life. Those of us that are fathers, grandfathers, we need to be disciplinarians, so that we can help our children learn the boundaries. And when they step over the boundaries, we need to help them see there are natural consequences to walking past boundaries all of your life. You're going to have them, whether you're at school, whether you have a job, whether you are just in the home doing whatever there is to do in the home. There are boundaries, and our children need to know those, and we need to be disciplinarians. We need to be spiritual leaders. We need to do our part to help establish faith in God. It's a powerfully difficult thing in any part of our world ever to develop an absolute trust in God. But as we think about the trust in God, we need to believe in God's principles, and we need to believe in our accountability to God. And our children need to understand that, and they need to know that. And it becomes so very important. A good father is going to treat his wife with love and respect. He's going to be totally faithful to his wife. He's going to share the workload to a great degree. We need to understand what it means to have a queen in our home. I'm absolutely awed when I think about my brothers and sisters and how they treated our mom. What a queen of our family she was. That's exactly what I would like for Jan to be. I'd like for her to be treated in the same way that my brothers and sisters treated my mom all the days of her life. And I think as I look at what a father is going to do, he's going to set the right example there. I've said many times that if you want your children to have a close, loving relationship with their spouse when they grow up and get married, the number one thing that needs to be done is for you dads to show that love and that respect to your wife. That is a great fatherly attribute that reaps benefits that you and I have a hard time seeing. So those are nine qualities that family share suggest they're all biblical. They didn't put a passage with them, and neither did I, but they're all biblical. But when I start thinking about Joseph, he fits the mold of what we need to fit. I only want to share a couple of things with you tonight about Joseph. When God chose Joseph, he chose a loving man. He loved Mary. And that becomes very clear. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away secretly. Joseph was in a position where he could have made life very, very hard for Mary. How hard would it be, guys, for someone in a dream to say to you, listen, don't worry about this woman being pregnant. You marry her anyway. I've got a plan. You may not know who the father is, but you know for sure who it isn't. How hard would that be to lovingly take this woman to be your wife? You see, we think, oh, well, it was God. Well, yeah, you still have to trust. It was God that told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter's saying, not me. God was talking to him directly, the Son of God, who was God in the form of flesh. Just because someone is spoken to directly by God doesn't make things so easy. We're spoken to quite directly in the Word of God. We believe that. We believe it's the Word of God. But Joseph had to love Mary enough to protect her reputation, to protect her life in a great way. So, upon discovery that she was pregnant, he would have been obligated to put her away. A divorce. They were betrothed, and a divorce was going to be necessary if he put her away. And so he would have exposed Mary to some shame and public humiliation. Three times the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, in these verses, 25 through 29, to love our wives. God chose a man that would love his wife. As Jesus was growing up, he had a chance to see that love in a number of ways in that household. God chose a loving man. He chose a loving man because he loved Jesus. He adopted Jesus as his own. And one of the things that you have to recognize is that Jesus adopted a young man that the rest of the world basically was going to reject. Very few people on the front end. We talk about the thousands of people in the church in Jerusalem, and that's great. But what about the hundreds of thousands of people that rejected Jesus? He took in a young man that was going to produce some difficult days in his life. We have a great picture here of a man who loved his wife, a man who loved his son. In fact, his life was very hard. There are some people in this room that have hardly been out of Chester County. We got people that have traveled all over the world. I know that. But we've got a few people in this room that don't care if they ever get out of Chester County again. And when we start thinking about what being the father of the Son of God caused Joseph to do, he had to move his family in order to protect Jesus from the hatred of King Herod. When Herod saw that he had been deceived by the wise men, and they left and went back a different direction because they were told to do so, Herod decided that he would try to destroy Jesus by destroying many babies. Herod was a ruthless man, obviously, but Joseph was a loving man. He was willing to pick up his family and move to Egypt. And he stayed in Egypt until Herod had died and those that were seeking the life of Jesus were no longer putting that particular pressure on him at that time. And so they moved back. He didn't get to move back exactly where he was. He moved him to Nazareth so that it might be fulfilled that which was written by the prophet that Jesus would come out of Nazareth. And so we see God choosing a loving man. Those of us that are dads, we need to be loving men. Our children need to see and know that we love them. They need to hear it. They need to see it. Because that's what God wants and that's what God chose. But Joseph was a devout man. He was serious about life. He was serious about his relationship with Mary. He was serious about his relationship with Jesus. And he was serious about the God who shared his son with him. He trusted and obeyed God. Do not fear to take Mary to be your wife. He obeyed. Obedience is tough, isn't it? Sometimes there are many things that we just don't want to do, but God blesses us when we do. God blessed Joseph with a tremendous opportunity, and he was willing to listen to what God said. Take this boy and your wife and go to Egypt, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. He listened to what God said in order to protect the life of this baby. And then in Matthew 2 and verse 21, he didn't go where he meant to go. He went where God told him to go. And so he was a very devout man. And when we read a passage like Luke chapter 2 and verse 41, he did what he was supposed to do. He was a man who was Jewish, and he followed the Jewish law. We are told in this particular verse that he worshiped. And he went to Jerusalem every year to do what he was supposed to do. We need to be people that do what we are supposed to do as dads. Our children need to see that. There wasn't any question about where Joseph was going to be when these great feasts were being celebrated. Jesus grew up seeing that, knowing that, and he was faithful. Joseph was faithful. So he was a loving man, and he was a devout man. Now, we have to provide for our own. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Isn't that interesting? A person can believe in God, believe in Jesus, believe in the Spirit of God, believe in the Bible, but if he doesn't take care of his own, he's denied the faith. Oh, but you say, well, listen, I believe. God says this is a very strong way in which you deny the faith when you do not take care of your own. So, well, I've got a good job. I provide my kids with all the toys, all the camps, all the whatever it is they want these days, all the iPhones, the big ones, you know, that you can just read from about 6 feet away. My kids have everything. Do they? Do they have you? Do they have affection from you that you share with them regularly? Do they have the example that they need in word, in deed, in worship, in so many ways? Do they have the example that they need so much from us dads in laughter and warmth, that loving concern about who you're with, where you're going, when you're coming home, who's going to be there when you get there, that loving concern? Frustrates your kids to death, doesn't it? But love it. I promise you, the older you get, the more you will love it when you have a parent that provides all of those things, not just money, not just things, but provides for you in the ways that you especially need that. I think today, a great blessing to honor dads. I can tell you, though I don't know my dad, I wish that I could have known him. I don't know what my life would have been like if I'd grown up at the feet of my dad. I am certain it would have been different. Our life would have taken a different path, but in God's providence, I stand before you today honoring a dad that I did not know. Honoring a father in heaven that I do know. Honoring the one that God chose to be the father of his only begotten son. And it's a great blessing. It's a great privilege. I want to say to every one of you, if you have a dad living, he may not have been what he should have been. He may have been everything he should have been. God teaches us to honor father and mother. And God is so desirous of a relationship with you as His child. He would love, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, He would love to bring you to life into His family today by you being willing to die to your sins and being buried with Him and raised to walk a new life in Jesus Christ. And now God says, you can cry, Abba, Father. You can call Him Father in the spiritual sense, where He offers you all of the things that we've talked about earthly fathers needing to supply their children. He offers that in abundance in ways that we can't really fully appreciate. And so tonight, I'm asking you, if you do not have a good relationship with your physical father, change that to the best of your ability. If you do not have a good relationship with the Father in heaven, it is all about your choice, because He wants you to come to Him. And so we sing tonight to encourage you. If you need to be baptized into Christ, please do that. If you need to return home like the prodigal returned home, the Father is ready to run, ready to meet, ready to greet, ready to welcome, ready to, as we say in our vernacular, ready to party, kill the fatted calf in that sense of the prodigal son. But it's up to you. There are people who need prayers. If you would love for us to pray with you and for you, it would be a great opportunity for us to do that. We'd love that, to have that opportunity. If we can help you in some way with you making a response, we invite you to do that. Let's stand and let's sing.